KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:01, we have a mostly sunny sky, 64 degrees, looking forward to be partly to mostly sunny today with a high of 85. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN Area and State News. In area news, students in the Exira EHK School District began classes under the new normal of coronavirus safety last Friday, nearly a week ago. Superintendent Trevor Miller said the school board this past Monday discussed during their meeting how things were going so far.
We had some transportation hiccups just because, you know, two to a seat, making sure they wear masks, and our shuttles, making sure we have enough buses. So we got it all taken care of. We kind of changed some things for Monday, and it went a lot better on Monday. So cafeteria, just got to make sure we have some of our students eating in the cafeteria, some eating outside, some eating in their classroom. So it's just a matter of, you know, being creative and flexible, and our staff's doing an amazing job trying to be creative and allowing that flexibility because we want to stay in school as long as possible. So, I mean, that's kind of our goal, and our staff's really bought into it, and they're working hard.
Wednesday was a professional development collaboration day where the students weren't in the building, but some distance learning was being conducted.
But the staff's really planning on how we can close the gaps and accelerate their learning from times they missed in March.
Miller said it's going well, but at any given time, they could have an outbreak of COVID-19.
All of a sudden, we could have 3, 4, 5 staff members that are out, and then we're going to have to adjust. Because currently, we're running our on-site plan, but we do have a hybrid A-B plan in place in case we need to adjust that. Our goal is kind of, if possible, keep, you know, our pre-K through 8 in the buildings as much as possible, and then work, you know, with the state, you know, because now they came out with that 50% requirement that we have to kind of adjust our high school play a little bit. But right now they're on site, going as well as can be expected. The kids are doing a great job.
Trevor Miller said the younger students were amazing at adapting to the new storm, or new norm, that is, where face masks and social distancing are expected.
Especially, the, you know, the K-1-2, how well they're doing with their mask and how they're not fighting with them. I mean, granted, once in a while they'll play with it because they're younger, but it's amazing how quick they catch on and want to be around their friends. I mean, it's kind of neat to see the relationships being built again between staff and students.
In other business, Mr. Miller said there was one new hire during Monday's meeting.
Well, we hired Beth Lawrence, and she's going to be a part-time cook in the Exira building because Tammy Jensen came over to the Elkhorn building because Patty Morrison retired this summer. She did a great job. She can put an extra month longer, you know, dealing with the summer food program because she could have retired, you know, around school got out, but she made it all the way through June. So she came over, and then we are looking also at a couple pairs.
And he said there will be some coaching changes for junior high that they will take care of during their next regular board meeting. The Iowa State Education Association and Iowa Community High School District, I should say, are filing a lawsuit in Johnson County against the governor and the requirement that schools returning to classes have at least 50% in-person instruction. The lawyer for the teachers union, Jay Hammond, says the ISEA is seeking one thing.
What we are asking the court to determine is that ultimate authority to determine the content and to effectuate the content of a plan for a return to school lies with the individual school boards of every school district across the state of Iowa.
He says they're alleging the governor's emergency order violates the Iowa Constitution,
which summarized state that state government is charged with the responsibility of protecting the health and welfare of the citizens of this state to the greatest extent it can.
Hammond said they also take issue with the way the governor has interpreted the law passed by the Iowa legislature in their special session that says classes should primarily be held in person. He said, we are alleging that the governor has exceeded her authority under Senate File 2310 and in fact does not have the authority to determine the maximum minimum amount of online learning or to set the standards and criteria when a school closing may be ordered due to the COVID-19 environment. Hammond says they hope to get an injunction against the state.
A hearing as to whether the court believes there is merit to the lawsuit, and if so, has the authority to issue a temporary injunction, which would then restrain any enforcement of these proclamations.
A spokesman for the Iowa City Schools said they have approved a 50-50 learning plan that meets the state guidelines while the lawsuit is being heard. Drake University has removed more than a dozen students from its Des Moines campus, saying they violated coronavirus safety and prevention guidelines at gatherings both on and off the campus. 14 Drake students were asked to leave campus for 2 weeks. Drake University asks undergraduate students to sign a compact in which they agree to social distance, self-monitor for symptoms, and wear face coverings in campus buildings. The compact states that students will be disciplined if they host or attend parties on or off campus. Students who repeatedly violate the compact could be suspended or expelled. Elsewhere in the news, American Airlines says they're dropping flights to 15 U.S. cities in October when a federal requirement to serve those communities expires. American said its schedule, covering October 7th through November 3rd, will drop flights to cities that include Sioux City, Iowa, New Haven, Connecticut, and Springfield, Illinois. American said today that it will consider other changes unless the federal government provides more money to the embattled airline industry. The decision appears designed to put pressure on Congress and the Trump administration to approve another $25 billion in relief for passenger airlines, which have seen traffic plummet during the coronavirus pandemic. American has already received $5.8 billion and has applied for an additional federal loan of $4.9 billion. Inmate transfers from county jails into the state prison system are being temporarily suspended due to a rise of COVID-19 at the state's intake center. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
The first stop for inmates entering the state prison system is at the Iowa Medical and Classification Center in Coralville, and in an average week, 65 inmates from county jails arrive at the facility. On Wednesday, state officials notified county sheriffs that inmate transfers were temporarily suspended. An inmate who was in the general population at the state facility tested positive for COVID last week. Since then, nearly 800 inmates and staff have been screened. 59 inmates and 6 staff members have tested positive. A news release from the Iowa Department of Corrections indicates inmates who have the virus are in quarantine. The movements of the other inmates inside the facility are now very limited. I'm O.K. Henderson.
The state website indicates there are approximately 950 offenders inside the Coralville Intake Center each day, and about 500 people are on staff. Well, the Atlantic Police Department yesterday had reported 9 arrests took place over a little more than the past couple of weeks. Among them, on August 17th, 27-year-old Jason Mark of Atlantic was arrested for OWI, first offense. On August 16th, 42-year-old Monty Castile of Atlantic was arrested for domestic abuse assault, first offense. August 15th, 39-year-old Mitchell Mullins of Atlantic was also arrested for domestic abuse assault, first offense. 3 people were arrested August 14th, including 29-year-old Devin Gardner of Atlantic for criminal mischief in the fourth degree. He had turned himself in on the charge and was later released on bond. 33-year-old Jenny Clark of Atlantic was arrested August 14th for OWI, and 18-year-old Dante Watkins of Council Bluffs was arrested August 14th on 2 Cass County warrants for violation of probation. Other arrests included 19-year-old Noah Minders of Atlantic, 43-year-old Timothy Snyder of Kimbleton, and 22-year-old Colby Folk of Walnut. Each of the defendants were booked into the Cass County Jail. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.